Welcome to No Save For You, a podcast where I'll try to gather and organize my thoughts on tabletop RPGs. My name's Cody. Let's do this. Greetings, everyone. Today, I am talking with Rich about two things. We talk about Morrowind, the video game, which I've covered briefly on my last episode, and then we also go into a discussion about clerics. For the cleric bit, which is the second half of the show, you can check out his podcast, Cockatrice Nuggets. And for the first half, it'll be on my show, which is about Morrowind. So, yeah, get over there and check it out before I roll the clip re-recorded. It's pretty awkward in the beginning. We used Anchor to do the recording, which was probably a mistake, but this was before we had Craig on the Discord server. So I think going forward, any sort of joint recordings I do, at least, I'll be trying to use Craig, just because it, you know, does multiple streams and records records each speaker as its own stream. That way you can layer it in and get rid of any talking over each other and things like that. But yeah, check out the show notes. I put all of Rich's information in there, his blog link and his podcast link and all of that. And then I also, Rich talks about in this recording the player's manual for the game Morrowind. I got a PDF copy of it and I uploaded it to Google Drive. And I made this drive public, and I called it the OSR Anchorites drive. So if you go in there, you can click on the folder that says No Save For You, and you'll see that there. You'll also see the map file for the Kalmata hexographer map I'm working on, as well as a screenshot I took earlier this evening of the map that I'm trying to mimic. So that's in there. I kind of think this would be cool for other podcasters to use as well. So if you guys want to have a place to store stuff relevant to your show, that's public. I wouldn't put any private information in there or private documents. But, you know, if you got a link to something in your show and you don't want to have it all over the place, you can just go in there and stick it on that Google Drive. Just make a folder for your podcast. And yeah, anyway, without further ado and without further ramblings for me, here is the clip re-recorded the other evening.
All right, hello,
Rich.
There you go.
Hello.
Oh my God, that was so difficult.
Yeah, man, sometimes technology is not easy.
Especially when it's named Anchor.
Yeah, right. I guess we shouldn't complain. It's free, right?
So. Right. No, I'm still going to complain.
Oh, okay. There you go. I guess they'll never get better if we don't complain, right?
There you go. Yeah. Yeah, it said Anchor defines friends as people who have favorited each other's podcasts.
What?
Yeah.
Oh. That's weird.
So either you haven't favorited my podcast or Anchor is crazy.
No, I mean, you show up in the list and you, when I click on your podcast, the star is golden, like the ones that I favorited. Yeah. That's goofy.
All right. We'll blame Anchor then.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
So you're a big Morrowind fan, huh?
I am. I remember when I got my original Xbox when I was a kid, and that was the game that my dad got with it. And I've been hooked ever since. And that was like 2002. So, I was like,
yeah, I'm looking for a trademark in here. Yeah. This, Game of the Year edition is 2003. So
yeah.
It was the year before it came out.
Yeah. So it's pretty old now. Yeah.
Yeah. I had a choice to make. It was either buy an Xbox or build a new computer. And Xbox was cheaper. And like the only thing I wanted was Morrowind.
Yeah, man, that game is so it's so good.
I mean, Xbox and Morrowind and God, I don't even know how many hours I put into this stupid game.
Yeah, I used to play with my brother. Because he's 1 year younger than me. So we would just play, whenever you die, you hand over the controller.
Yep. Old school rules.
Yeah, that's right. And then if we didn't do that, a fight would break out and you'd have to get kicked outside and go play in the heat or something, you know?
Right. Yeah, so
Well, yeah.
like first of all, this thing, this I, it's got an instruction booklet, right? I haven't seen one of those in years. How do I
Oh.
have this?
What?
Not like it goes into like all the details, right? Creating your character. It's got like a little description for each race plus their attributes.
Oh man.
It's
That's
got a
cool.
description of each attribute. It's like a little RPG book.
Yeah, it's like a player's handbook, right?
Yep, exactly.
Ooh.
Description of all the skills, definition of what a class is and what the classes do, earth
So
signs,
if
weapons.
you were gonna port Morrowind into a tabletop RPG game, what system would you use?
Oh man, you could probably just use a percentile system.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
What is that?
Because it's all 0 to 100, right?
Yeah.
Attributes and skills and all of that. Yeah. Yeah, I was trying to think about that on the way home. I don't actually, the only percentile game I've ever played is Call of Cthulhu.
Same.
And I have, like very, very little experience with it.
Yeah, I've only ever played Call of Cthulhu. I never felt comfortable enough to run it. I never fully grasped that cosmic horror.
Right, yeah.
Although I like to
Yeah, I don't.
sprinkle it into my games, it's not something I could run full time.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. I just don't get it. But who knows?
It was that and Shadowrun. I just couldn't run them.
Yeah, I never got into Shadowrun. I don't know why, because I do like to mix like science fiction and fantasy, so it seems like it would be a really good system, but
It was really fun to
that one isn't.
play. It was really crunchy, though. No.
Oh, yeah.
But I like throwing dice, so
Yeah, there you go.
lots of them,
Nothing wrong with that.
handfuls of six-siders.
There you go. Yeah, so I don't know specifically what you wanted to talk about, but I guess maybe we could. I don't. So I listened back to the podcast that I did, and I don't think I did a very good job actually explaining like the game itself. So maybe we could start out kind of explaining what the game is.
Yeah, it's old school RPG, except it's not turn-based, which was
Right.
very unique. Like Daggerfall before it and Arena before it were both the same way. But they're really hard to go back and play. Morrowind is like
Right.
the most recent game I can play from them, or the
Right.
farthest past, right?
Right.
So it's got that problem inherent where you walk up to something, you swing your sword at it, and you miss, even though it looks like you on the screen connected.
Right. Yeah.
So that throws a lot of people off from modern games. That was something
Right.
they that was one of their things in Morrowind. They were like, if you see it and hit it, you hit it.
Yeah. Same, and their spell system was the same too, right? You could cast a spell and there was a chance that it would fail
Correct. Yeah, it would just fizzle
when
in
you
your
cast
hand.
it. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And you'd lose the mana for it. It was old school, old
Yeah, it was
school.
brutal. Yeah.
Punishing. But I think that's like the core of it right there. It's all based on the die roll in the background.
Right.
The
Yeah,
random
that's what I like
numbers.
about it is it feels like rolling dice as opposed to just it's not it's less like a action RPG and more like a real tabletop RPG.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you definitely had to be careful because you walk out of that first town and go right, and it's over. Don't
Yeah,
go in there.
there was
There's a little cave you could go into, and then if you kept going right, it's just scary shit you run from.
Yeah, right.
And I did a
There's
lot
those
of running
big
in that game.
ogres and yeah, definitely. I
Natchez.
always bumped my speed stat so I could run away from the monsters faster. I could get
Right.
away from them.
I remember there's two kinds of netches, right? There's the bull netch, and then there's the female netch. And the bull netch would attack you, but the other one wouldn't. And I remember like the day I found that out, because I'd always just sneak around all of them. And I got caught, and I was like, oh, it won't attack me? What? 500 hours into the game.
Yeah, that's what I like about it, is every time I turn it on, and there's always a new area to go to and something I never found before. So and I've had the game since it came out.
Right. Yeah, you said you never finished it. I've only finished it once.
I've never played through the main story. I've gotten a couple quests in, but I always end up seeing something else and I just run off and do other things. I've never stuck with it.
I think the only time I did was when I got really bored with a character and I was like, well, I'm so powerful now, let's just go and finish this thing and see what happens. But I don't think I finished the expansions.
Yeah,
Like
there
I
was
know.
the two of them, Blood Moon and Tribunal or something like that.
Right. I know I didn't finish Blood Moon, but I don't know if I finished Tribunal or not.
Yeah, so I have those, and I actually uninstalled both of them. So it with Tribunal, I created a character, I restarted, I was going to go through it, and I was in the starting town about to go into that swamp and do some grinding for levels. And some invisible assassins just came up and killed me, and I was like, okay. And I couldn't run away from them, I couldn't fight them, they like paralyzed. I was like, okay, this is I essentially I rage quitted, so I uninstalled it. And then
That's
the
good.
same thing happened with the other expansion. A werewolf came out of nowhere and killed me. I was like, God.
Yeah, they were pretty brutal. Those
Yeah, those
assassins,
games are.
though, if you could like set your character up so the first time you slept, you could kill that assassin, that armor was like top tier.
Oh yeah,
It was
I'll have to
like
go
easy
back.
mode.
Yeah, right.
Another thing you said was no fast travel, and there is fast travel in there. It's just
Oh,
limited
but you,
fast travel. It's
the
realistic
Silt
fast
Strider.
travel.
Yeah,
There's
right. You have to.
Stiltstriders, there's boats, and then there's
Yeah, there you go.
magic, right? There was a
Right. Yeah,
spell
the
that you
mage's
could go
guilds
back
are
to a
connected, right?
temple, and then there was a mark and recall spell, so you could mark someplace and then teleport back to it,
Okay. Yeah. That's right.
which was amazing for unloading loot.
Yeah, right. Because you would get the weight system was pretty tough too. Everything you pick up has a weight, and you can only carry so much.
Right. Yeah, that's something they didn't change too much from Oblivion and Skyrim.
Yeah, those two both have. Yeah, I guess what I meant more was like, how a Skyrim fast travel is. You just open the map and click on a thing, and you're
Right.
there.
Yeah, it makes me sad. And people
Yeah.
say, well, just don't use it, but it's so much easier to use.
Yeah, it's so convenient, right?
It's like, don't look at the compass. Well, but it's
Yeah.
right there on the screen.
It's right there. Yeah.
And
Yeah.
I mean, I always tell people I didn't really like Skyrim. I only played 250 hours of it,
Yeah,
right?
right.
I mean, that's
But how
for
much
any other
Morrowind did you
game.
play, though?
I don't know, because I had it on Xbox and I had it
Yeah.
not on Steam. I think on
Right.
Steam I've got like 200 hours, but I
Right.
played most of it on Xbox. I would say easily over 1,000 hours, easily,
Yeah. Yeah.
because it was the last game I played on my Xbox. Like it, when I
Yep.
finally got rid of my Xbox, I was like, I guess I'm gonna have to buy Morrowind on PC.
Right. Yeah, I was in the same boat when I started getting into computers. I built it. This was I was in high school. So it was like 2006. I think I was a freshman. And I built a computer, and I built it specifically so I could play Morrowind on the computer.
I remember when I finally got a graphics card that could support Morrowind. I
Yeah,
was very
right?
excited. That was Morrowind and Half-Life 2.
Yeah, Half-Life. Oh, that's a it's another one
Back
I could go into.
when the big fuss was, you're making us install a program to install a game. What is this Steam crap anyway?
Yeah. Now it's all the rage, man. They did good
Yep.
for themselves. That's
They did really good. So good they don't need to make games anymore.
right. Just a platform. So I think we're getting a little off track. But so what about what so what when you made a character in Morrowind, what was your setup?
It was so I think the first time I played, I just picked a character from the list. I was like, yeah, I want to do this. And then I figured out how the systems worked, and then I restarted and made a new character. And I think I went down a totally different path, right? So generally I like the sneakier characters because they have higher survivability. I've definitely played a straight mage though and a straight warrior. I think a combination is what I like though. A little of everything. And it was I like the way they did it because there's like eight schools of magic and you could specialize in one of those and ignore all the rest of them. So I
Yeah,
would
no, that's
usually
interesting. I think if you look at like modern D&D, they kind of do the same thing, right? I know at least from third edition onwards, the wizards had like schools of magic.
In fifth edition it's not as restrictive as it used to be. Like I remember in second edition it was like you can't cast
You can
spells from this
only,
school if you're in this school.
It's opposing. Yeah, I remember that.
And then with Morrowind you can pick, right? You can pick your skills and your skills define what your class is. It's not a class per se.
They have the preloaded classes, but that's just a grouping of skills that make you a fighter or, like a general.
Which I thought was ridiculous. What do they talk about it in here? They don't tell you what skills they get. But it was like you pick the fighter and you're proficient in every weapon. And I mean, the first time through, that's all right. But then the second time, you're like, well, I really only use swords anyway.
And you get like three free skills if you make a custom class that only uses swords as opposed to long swords, short swords, daggers, blunt weapons, spear,
So I definitely like tone down things like that and almost always use stealth because it always came in so handy.
Lock picking. Did you ever do that one?
Yes, lock picking for sure. It was less of a mini game in that, right?
Yeah, it was just straight skill roll. Like you just pick, you interact with the lock, and if you had a high enough skill, you could do it. Yeah, in the later games, it is a mini game.
Oh, Oblivions was so difficult.
Yeah, with the little tumblers. Oh,
Right, tapping the
they'd always
tumblers up
fall
and
back
up
down.
there. Oh my God. Where's the kick button?
You're right. I did like the one from Skyrim. That one's pretty fun.
Right, it is way easier, right? That's just
It
like an
was way
angle.
easier. You just rotate the pick and then you get it in that sweet spot. But I think for my characters, I always I think the first time through, I just picked the warrior because I was like 12 and wanted to play a dude with a big sword.
Well, I think that's standard for any RPG for me. First time through, pick the guy who hits, and that's what he does, because that's the easiest to learn.
And I was always confused, like why I had three different types of armor. Why wouldn't I just wear the one matching set? And eventually, once I figured out how the system worked, I did exactly what you did. I restarted and made a character that was much better suited for the game. And I tend to do a mix of like a mage and a fighter. So it's actually almost like a cleric or maybe like a paladin. So I tend to do like a lot of the healing spells. As opposed to sneaking for survivability, I just rely on healing myself. And then I liked the alchemy system. So you can make potions and, heal yourself.
So abusable though.
It is. It's
So
really, it,
abusable.
because the potions you make are so much lighter than the ones you could buy. So if you're good at alchemy, you could whip up these super light potions and they heal you like crazy. Because
Well, there
I
was
think
this
in
thing,
Morrowind,
so go ahead.
I think wasn't in Morrowind the effects you could do with alchemy were just the spells you knew. So if you knew a super, like even if you couldn't cast the super powerful healing spell, if you knew it, you could emulate that in a potion.
No, it was similar in Skyrim, right? Because in Morrowind, you technically could try and cast every spell. It just mattered
Oh,
if your
that's
skill
right.
was high enough or not. See, that was
Right.
another thing about Morrowind. You had all the skills, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
the
Yeah.
later games have that too, but compared to a regular RPG, you have all the skills and can use them all. The
Right.
ones you pick are the ones that are your that you start out with higher,
End
and
up
are
are the
the
ones
things,
that
right?
affect your
Yeah.
leveling up.
Right.
So sidetrack onto that for a while. There's a tricky way to level up in Morrowind, right? So if you once you hit your level up, if you've used your primary skills enough times, I don't even remember how many it is, you would get
10
more
points to
points
spend
for
when you
them.
level up.
Yeah,
So what you
that's
would
right.
do is you'd put the skills that you use all the time as your secondary and
Yeah.
use like acrobatics and stuff as your primary.
Yeah.
Or maybe the opposite. Because acrobatics was jumping. All I did was
Yep.
jump in that game.
Yeah, man, if your acrobatics got high enough, you could. I remember I had a one of my favorite characters was like a Nord, and I think he was like a thief fighter, or maybe just a. But his acrobatics was like 110, so I could just jump over like houses and clear dungeon obstacles and yeah.
There was a lot of stuff on the internet that was wild about Morrowind. So the first thing, when you leave that first town, you go off to the left, that guy falls from the sky, right?
Yeah, you get the scrolls. Yeah.
So there would be competitions on the internet how far you could jump across the
I remember starting. I would go from the starting town with those scrolls and jump all the way to Vivec.
Yeah.
And you'd land like in the water between the cantons and you could swim out to them.
So funny. And then the other thing
Yeah,
on the
hilarious.
internet was there were two other things. There was lantern trails. So you would just pick up every
Oh,
lantern and that's how you found your way
yeah.
back. You just drop lanterns every once in a while.
That's a good idea. I've never done that.
And pillow forts. People would steal all the pillows and just stack them up and make little pillow houses.
Yeah, there was that first Fighters Guild mission where you go and kill the rats in that lady's house, and she has like 1,000 pillows in there, right?
Yep.
In I don't remember what town that was in, Balmora, I think.
Balmora, yeah.
Yeah.
Damn, like last year, that was my desktop background.
Yeah. Oh, that town is so cool. I would totally put that in an RPG game. I love the river that flows through the middle, and you have it's kind of like divided between residential and business, and then there's the poorer side and the richer side.
Yeah.
It's a really good setup.
So jumping back to alchemy,
Yes.
you could make potions that would increase your intelligence. And
They
intelligence
can
was the
cast better
stat
spells.
that, yeah, that would control how well your alchemy did. So you'd make an intelligence potion, drink it, make another
Perfect.
intelligence potion, drink it, and you'd go on to where you could make these levitate spells that would last for like 3 million seconds.
Yeah.
Which is like the rest of your game
Yeah,
or
exactly.
something.
Yeah.
Like the alchemy was
That's interesting.
super abusable. And that was like,
So,
it was hard pressed for me, not first thing to do, go over. There's like an imperial place where you could buy cheap mats and
right,
just
yeah.
abuse the hell out of that and power level my
Yeah.
character.
But it was still fun though, right? Even if you did abuse it, it's still, you're getting a good time out of it.
Right. Yeah. I mean, nothing like floating around.
Yeah, right.
There were spaces in that game where you couldn't. The mages who lived in the mushrooms,
Yeah. They had
all their
to
good stuff was upstairs, right? There
Yeah.
were
Yeah, you had to
quests that
levitate up
you
there to
needed
get
to
it.
go upstairs, and they didn't have
Yep.
stairs. Yeah, you had to levitate.
Yeah, I joined the there was the one guild, the Assassin's Guild you could join that was underneath Vivec, and one of their targets was one of those high-level mages in the mushroom. And for the longest time I had that mission and I had no idea how to get to him because I couldn't I had no skill with levitation or anything, and so I had to figure out how to get a potion. I think I stole one from one of the
There's
shops.
usually one in one of those houses around there.
Yeah. Let's see. Another thing is the magic system was crazy, right? Especially when you got to the point where you can make your own spells.
Right. So yeah, and this isn't like Oblivion making your own spells where you can combine two effects to a certain amount. You would pay gold, right? And you could say, okay, it's gonna cost me 1,000 mana. And I'm gonna blow up everything I can see and freeze my computer.
There was a lot of times where I crashed my Xbox with like a fireball spell that was, fully maxed out, and yeah, man, there's a lot of good stuff in there. It almost reminds me of like DCC, how the magic works, because it can get so crazy. It's not like a static effect. You can get these
Yeah, I
crazy
still haven't
effects
read
out there.
DCC.
Oh, dude. One day I want to host, maybe on the next Tabzapalooza, I'll try and participate, but I want to get all the anchorites into a game of DCC and run an adventure I wrote for like all of you guys. It's a higher level. It's like a fourth, I think fourth level was what I keyed it for.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, one day we're gonna do all that. But what else could we talk about the game?
The quests.
Oh yeah, the quests are pretty good. Yep.
There were at least two quests I can think of from different guilds that if you did one quest, you couldn't do the other.
Yeah.
So there was a Fighters Guild quest that you had to go in and steal something from the Thieves Guild. And if you did that, you couldn't get past that guy in the Thieves Guild.
Right.
And then if you went up in the Thieves Guild had you kill the person in charge of the Thieves Guild in Balmora. So you couldn't go up in the Fighters Guild.
Yeah. And that's interesting, the way the factions interact like that. I think in modern editions of the games, you probably wouldn't see that, right?
No, yet you definitely don't. Yeah.
Or if you do, it doesn't seem to matter to either faction that you just killed one of their guys or you stole a precious artifact or something. They just continue giving you quests like candy, right?
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, whereas in Morrowind, they're like, no, we know what you
Yeah,
did.
fuck you. Get out of here. Yeah. I also really liked how all of the NPCs had like a back. You could when you talk to them, you could ask them about their background,
Right, they
and
all
they would
had
tell
something
you
to say, huh?
even if it was something like I'm only a commoner, this is what I do every day. But it's still interesting that they put that level of detail into the game, where
Right.
everyone did something or had a background or a story. And
Yeah, and I think they lost a little bit about that when they went to full voice.
yeah.
I mean, full
Yeah,
voice
because
is
it's harder
nice.
to. Yeah, right. It's expensive though, right? It would be super expensive to voice out every NPC in your game. You
Yeah.
have to pay all those actors, and yeah.
But then you don't have to read paragraphs of text. And that
Yeah,
journal was a nightmare.
it was hard. Yeah, and it wasn't organized. It was just whatever you did, the next
Was
thing you did was
organized by
right after it.
date.
Yeah, exactly. You have to. Yeah, there were when the most recent playthrough I did was earlier this year, and I found myself writing on an actual piece of paper while I was playing the game.
I had a Morrowind notepad for each of my characters, yeah.
Yeah.
There was always a list of things I needed to do. I think I would try and reference the pages. It was almost like a bullet journal index.
Yeah.
Page 4 of the journal.
Yeah.
Go see this guy.
Yeah.
There were some crazy quests too, right? So without a quest marker, when you talk to that naked barbarian who says some witch stole my clothes, she ran over the hills to the east,
Yeah.
and she's west.
Yep.
It took me
And you
so
could
long to
spend
figure that
hours
quest out.
searching. Yeah. Yeah. So I guess that stuff translates pretty easily into tabletop RPGs, right? Because it's not like, unless you have a map. I don't know how you play. I don't. I play most of my games are digital, and it's not like I have a map where I just put a pin on the map for the players and they can see everything. So I
I'm
have
only playing in
participated in
person
games
right
like
now.
that. Oh, that's interesting.
So I have been putting a pin on the map for the players.
Okay.
Because my prep hasn't evolved into that sandbox yet, right? I started
Oh, right.
sandboxing the city first. I started
Yeah.
sandboxing the sewers. And now I'm moving on. That's my task. Hopefully by Friday I can get some get at least the hex that they're in. Which, God, that the publisher made 90-mile hexes on their map for
Ooh.
some reason. I'm like, well, that's 15 6-mile hexes, so I can work with
Yeah, right. That's a lot of
that.
area. You could,
Yeah, exactly.
yeah.
So I need to figure that out. And once I get, a good amount, then I can start doing travel. I abstracted travel for them though, and it worked out pretty good. I made it so it was like a skill check or a skill challenge right from fourth edition, where they needed so many successes before failures. And for every
Right.
failure they got, they had to roll on a table. And that table would take away some of their things. So, right, you could lose torches or it was like buy pieces of equipment. You pick
Oh,
what
so
they
it's like a
are, but just
resource
erase them
drain.
off your shit. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Oh, cool.
Take a level of exhaustion, lose hit dice. I can't remember what the other ones were. That was some of the stuff I put in my zine, though.
Very cool. Yeah, I have to. It's written down on my calendar. I need to flip back and get that thing.
It's tiny. It's like 19 pages with really wide margins.
Well,
I was very excited to put it together and print it. And after I printed it, I was like, it's really tiny. So you can
that's.
read it in like 20 minutes, I think.
Yeah, well,
Maybe even less.
that's good. Yeah, perfect for my lunch break.
Right.
Yeah, that's interesting. I don't I like my travel segments like drawn out. I like to go
Yeah,
into detail.
it's hard. It's been hard in the past because I've been telling a story, right?
Yeah, right.
So it's like, what do you want to do for the next two sessions? Do you want to travel to this place and roll random encounters that don't mean anything? Or do you want to get on with the story? Let's find a way we can get on with the story.
Yeah, that makes sense. I can't remember the last time I played in a game where it was just like a, I don't want to say story game, but you know what I mean, where the campaign was surrounded or based on a story that the
There was
DM
a
was trying to
story,
tell.
yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah.
all of the games I played since I was a kid have all been like sandbox style,
How
where we just
crazy.
kind of roam around. Yeah.
Yeah,
My
I'm trying to get my players to do that right now, and it's like so foreign to them because they all came up with Adventures League recently, right?
Oh, right.
So everything has like a definite end, and there's a direction to go. And I'm trying to like throw story beats at them and see what they pick up on, right? And then we can follow that
Right.
one for a while until it just ends, right? Because that's the way things work. They just end. There's no climax there, The climax is the combat that you get in.
Yeah, you should try and play in Kalmata sometime with
I really
Jason.
want to.
Ops.
Really want
I
to.
think that would be good
Yeah.
way to for you to maybe help transition. I think there would be probably a really good game to be had if you mix both styles, right? Sandbox and more story driven.
Yeah. Well, the problem then becomes like the Fallout problem. I need to save my
Right.
son, but I'm going to go build this place over here first.
Yeah, right.
So,
Yeah, I
I
guess
mean,
you just need to.
that's how I set up my last game, but I started telling a story, and the story became more important than anything else. So this game, I'm really trying to push the, this is exploration, this is sandbox. So I want you guys, I started out by giving them a notice board, and I said that I'll always have to do if you want, but you can do whatever you crutched on
Right.
that board. So I took it away. I was like, no longer.
Yeah, right.
Now, what are you going to do?
Right. Yeah,
You
that's
want to get a
interesting.
job? You don't. You don't want to get a job.
Yeah.
Let's go talk to that guy at the gate who knows things. Yes, there you go.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's
So
interesting.
now they're picking up on rumors.
Is
But I'm stuck in a dungeon right now. I don't know. It's okay play, but looking back on it, it's not fulfilling, right?
Right.
Because we just knocked out five rooms or whatever. So I've been like dragging my heels, putting out a podcast about for a recap. Because it's like, yeah, they did five rooms.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, I don't really have a solution for that.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a different mode of play, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And it's not like they didn't do creative things. Actually, last session was the like longest and hardest I've laughed in a long, long time.
Nice.
Like, I was happy when someone else told me that the whole room was laughing because I couldn't tell because, I was lightheaded and my eyes were watery.
Yeah, those are always fun. I only get that when I play face to face. When I'm playing online, it's, I mean, we have, people cracking jokes and stuff, but I think being in front of somebody or in a room of people, especially if they're all laughing, it kind of fuels your own laughter. And
Right.
it's contagious, really.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, even though it's a small barrier, that computer is still a barrier.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Well, as Ray would say, I think we've windowed out, right?
Think so. Yeah.
Yeah. So what about like locations in Morrowind? What have been some of your favorite ones that you've come across or that you continually go back to through various playthroughs?
I really like Vivec and then whatever the spell casting mushroom place is. Really
Yeah,
like
there's
those
a
two places.
like Talmora or something like that.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, those places, yeah, those are cool. I really like Vivec. It was funny actually when I was listening to your podcast about your sewer crawl, that's where my mind immediately went because I love going down into those sewers because
Yep.
it's cool down there. Yeah.
Yeah, that I remember finding that place, right?
Yeah.
It was one of those big moments in gaming
Yeah.
where I just like out of the fog starts coming this thing and I'm like, "Wow, that's pretty cool. And what is it? Oh my
Yeah.
God, it's big. Oh my God, it's huge. Oh my God, there's more of them."
Yeah, they're huge, yeah.
And yeah, it's been very rare that a video game does that for me, you know? Like not just graphics, right? Half-Life 2 did that. Half-Life 2 was like, "Oh wow, look at the graphics. Look at the bloom here. Oh wow, they just released a patch. Check this out. It's called HDR." But just like the sense of wonder, right? The sense of discovery in these things. And then like finding someone else who played Morrowind and
Yeah, and you
talking about
gush
it with
about it,
them.
right? Yeah.
And you would each have totally different stories about totally different places, and you'd be like, "Oh, I need to write that down so I can remember."
Yeah. I had one friend in high school who played the game, and we had one class together, and we would spend all class to the point where we're getting in trouble just talking, going over it. Yeah.
Like, you don't understand, teacher.
Yeah.
I had a friend like that at work, and he was a Daggerfall guy, though.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And
Yeah, I've only
Daggerfall
seen
was.
bits of Daggerfall, but that was two, right? Elder Scrolls two, I
Yeah.
think. Yeah. I've never played it. I've only ever seen it on. It's like a legend to me, or like a rumor or something.
Oh, man. It's
Yeah.
so it used to be free on their site. You used to be able to download that in Arena free.
Oh, wow.
And it is the weirdest thing. Like, to swing your sword, you mouse click and drag the mouse.
Oh.
Right? So you have to swing your sword.
Yeah.
Was so, it was very awkward. And yeah, going back to Morrowind, right click is your inventory. It's
Yeah,
really
right.
weird. The
Yeah.
controls are really wonky on this thing.
Yep.
But it, yeah, I didn't get too far in it. It was the combination of the bad graphics and or the old graphics, not bad graphics,
Right. Yeah.
and the horrible controls. I just couldn't do it.
Yeah,
Didn't discipline myself enough.
it's an interesting contrast between I think a lot of modern games. I to be honest, I don't play a lot of modern video games, but I the ones I have played like Skyrim, I felt like the stories have been super linear, where they're beautiful to
Right.
look at, but they're the everything in those games is so telegraphed, you can see it coming, right?
Yeah, for sure.
But I don't know. I mean, when I played Skyrim the first time, I didn't know there were going to be dragons, and that dragon shows up. I was like, oh, that's cool. But then the whole rest of the game, there's like dragons everywhere, and you know they're coming, and you know when you're about to fight one. And whereas in Morrowind, like, you have no idea what's in that dungeon or what's around the corner, or, you know,
why this crazy leathery bird is attacking me.
Oh, yeah. What? I got a disease? What?
Oh my God. I forgot about diseases.
Yeah.
Right? And they would just pop up, and all of a sudden, people are like, I don't want to talk to you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They would get offended. Yeah. You could also get it from the environment. If you were in the swamps and you just walked into the gross water, you can contract diseases that way too.
How funny. I don't remember that.
Yeah, it's interesting. And if you didn't have a cure disease potion, or if you couldn't heal it with a spell, you're pretty much screwed.
You have to go see someone.
You have to go
to the temple and pay for it.
It's like a quest, right?
Yep.
Yeah, it's interesting. I'm trying to think what else we could talk about. How long have we been doing this? 38 minutes?
Yeah, almost 40 minutes.
Yeah.
We haven't talked about clerics yet.
We have not talked about clerics. We should talk about clerics. Maybe this is a good stopping point. We can put the other half on your show, or vice versa.
All right. I will see if I can call you back now that we've actually had a call.
Yeah, sure. All right. We're going to stop it here. All right. Talk to you in a bit.